This is Gail Weisberg and Idris Wise. Monday evening, November 21st, 1983, speaking to Dr. Benjamin Perlow. He's telling us a story about Mr. Russlander. What is it? Eslie or Russlander?
This is side.
Side five. What was this classic story, Dr. Perlow? The classic story about, is it Eslie Russlander or Julian Russlander?
Well, Eslie Russlander was the father.
And
he wrote her a beautiful letter. But I'll have to tell you a classic story that I haven't told very much, and maybe I mentioned it to you, about, I used it to illustrate that while she was running a household here and running a music school and supposedly dividing her time evenly, her mind was on the music school all the time. And I would oftentimes say something to her or ask her a question, and I'd never get an answer because, you know, she wouldn't hear me. She was thinking of the musical, and it reminded me of this story. This, I think, is a classic. You can put that in.
Okay.
Three rabbis were standing at a railroad station. And did I tell you this?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. And one was an old rabbi who was a professor in the seminary. And the other two were young rabbis who were his students. And they got into a discussion of the Talmud. And they became so engrossed in the discussion that they didn't hear the conductor when he yelled all aboard. And all of a sudden they came to as the train was pulling out of the station. So they turned around and they charged up the station trying to overtake the train. They got to the end of the platform just as the train eased out. So they jumped onto the tracks, and up the tracks they went after the train. Well, the two young rabbis were able to clamber aboard on the rear platform before the train picked up speed. But the old rabbi, he just couldn't make it. He couldn't run fast enough, and the more he ran, the more he tired, and he finally had to quit because the train started to go faster and faster. And as he walked back to the station very disgustingly and climbed up on the platform, a trainman who was watching this said to him, "Well, that's a good average. Two out of three made it." He says, "Yes, it is a good average, but they came to see me off."
That's funny.
Now, that's a classic story.
That is funny.
What else do we have in the scrapbook?
Well,
continue.
Leah Russlander wrote a beautiful letter, and then there's
why, in what capacity was he writing this letter to her?
He had been the president of the Iron Cotton Settlement for many years. And then his son Julian succeeded him. And Oscar Demmler, who was still living, by the way, he's over 90.
Hmm.
He was her first music teacher at Fifth Avenue High School. And we see him occasionally. He's over 90, still active. And Sammy Weiss, the judge. Remember that name, Sammy Weiss?
Sure.
Henry Ellenbogen, the judge. And Dave Oldman, the judge. You remember that name?
I've heard all of these names, yes.
Ralph Lewando, that's the fellow I...
How do you spell his last name?
Lewando.
The violinist.
And Ben Lencher, who was the judge.
Why was he writing to her?
All these people were writing to her.
As president, because they were presidents?
No, because she was a community-minded person, and she started a music school, and they were interested in what she was doing. And, of course, she always made an awful lot of friends. Now, this is a letter. Take a minute to read. This is a letter written by Patty Prattis's father. And he is... Well, he's dead now, but read that letter.
June 14th, 1965. Dear Mr. Bluestone, we wish to thank you for giving us the opportunity to record our appreciation for the service rendered by Mrs. Anna Lauf Perlow during a career of more than 40 years. It can be said of Mrs. Perlow that she used wisely, unselfishly, and effectively the gifts which with the good Lord endowed her. She not only loved children, she loved people, human beings as well. Her heart found itself busy helping others to realize their full potential with what God had given them. Our family is particularly indebted to Mrs. Perlow for our dedication to our daughter. For her dedication to our daughter.
Yeah, daughter is Patty.
It was she who first identified the natural gifts of our child and took the first steps to encourage her. We gladly attribute whatever success our daughter has had to Mrs. Perlow and to Harry Franklin, the gifted pianist who Mrs. Perlow secured as teacher. We want to thank her. Yours very sincerely, Helen M. Prattis and P. L. Prattis, the parents of Patty.
Isn't that a beautiful letter?
Oh, it is.
Beautiful.
It's nice. It's special when people take the time to write it down,
yeah.
How they appreciate other people.
This is Miriam Ephraim, the Jewish Welfare Board. She used to work at the Y in Oakland. And this is Oliver Kaufman. You remember that name?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
He wrote a beautiful letter.
Was she involved in any other organizations other than the music school?
Oh, sure.
Actively?
Yes, very active. Wherever the Friends of the Music Library, the Pittsburgh Concert Society, the Tuesday Musical Club.
What was that?
That was a music organization. I used to kid them. I used to say the women, it was called the Tuesday Musical Club, but they couldn't meet on Tuesday, so they used to meet on Wednesday.
What did they do there? Do you know?
All music. I used to give concerts.
I see.
Samuel Levine, the director. Morton Rosenbaum. He was in charge of the activities at the Y. Al Dubroff, he's at the Jewish Welfare Board. A. Blumenthal, you know Dorothy Blumenthal.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Don't you know Dorothy from the council?
National Council. She gave the building. It was their home.
I didn't know that.
This is... letter written by her husband, Abe. Dear Anna, we doubt if we can say anything in this letter that you do not already know. Now that we have ever said it, but like lovers, a glance or a gesture conveys more than words. Isn't that cute? Knowing you as we do, in both your private and public life, we find it impossible to separate the two because you would not be what you are in either field without the influence of the other. Yours for many glances and gestures between us.
He wrote that letter in what capacity? What was he at that time?
He was the president of the Arakapi settlement.
At that time?
Yeah, at one time. And Milton Sussman. Eugene Cohn. Bert Gold. Bert Gold is, he came from Toronto, and he became the assistant director of the Aaron Carlton Settlement. He was just a young fellow, but he was smart. He said to my wife, I'm just new here, and I will do everything that you tell me to do. And I'll make it my business to see people that you think I ought to see and get acquainted with them. And she advised them, and you know, after he left here, he is now the national head of what's the big Jewish organization? I'll think of it.
Okay.
He's now the national head of that. His letter from Ralph Munn. He was a director of the Carnegie Library.
How do you spell his last name? Spell his last name, please.
M-U-N-N. Ralph Munn. Stanton Belfer, his letter must have been good. Dear Anna the Pearl, he always called her Anna the Pearl. I am happy to join with others to hail you on the occasion of your retirement after four decades of music education to the constituency of the YIKS. As you know, our paths have crossed many times with our mutual association with the Friends of the Music Library. Your leadership as president of this group has been outstanding. All Friends of Music in Pittsburgh are in some measure indebted to you. Please add my good wishes for health and happiness to the many others you are receiving. Sincerely, Stanton Bell. Stanton the Bell.
Anna the Pearl.
Paul Sullivan. You probably wouldn't know that name. He's very active in the Catholic Church. He's a reader at the temple. And he was the president of the Concert Society for many years.
He's a reader at what temple?
I didn't mean at the cathedral. Paul Koch. He's the organist at the cathedral. You know, the organ at the cathedral was ordered in Germany, and I don't know how many years ago, but it cost $120,000 years ago. It was bought in Germany, and they brought in a crew from Germany to set it up here. And the first person that Paul Koch called and told the organist in was Anna. And he invited her to come down to hear him play it. As soon as it was installed. And you know, his father was the organist before him.
Which cathedral? I don't, where?
At the St. Paul's on the corner of 5th and Craig. And you know, his father was Casper Koch, and he lived to be about 93 or 94, and he was he was a devil. He used to say to his son, whenever you see a beautiful woman, just walk up and kiss her. Don't say anything to her. Just walk up and kiss her. And you know, the interesting thing is I had a patient who came back from Europe, and she said to me, "Do you know Paul Koch?" I said, "Sure. He's the organist at the cathedral." She said, "You know, I was on the boat on the deck, and he walked up and he put his arms around me and he kissed me." And she says, "I was so stunned." And then he told me that that's what his father said to him.
Yeah.
And I said, "That's right. I heard his father say it to him." And he's been doing that ever since. Paul Koch wrote a beautiful letter here. But what I wanted to tell you about Caspar Koch, the first meeting of the Pittsburgh Concert Society that my wife went to, when she came home, her eyes looked a little bit glassy. I looked at her and I said, "What did you have to drink?" She said, "I had what everybody else seemed to drink." I said, "Well, what'd you order?" She says, "I didn't order anything. Caspar Koch ordered the drink for me." I said, "What was it?" He said, "Straight scotch and a beer chaser."
Oh. It's a miracle she walked in the house.
That's a coal mine. That's what it was for, and that's what she drank. Here's a letter, Richard Karp. "Dear Anna," I hadn't read this for a long time. I'll have to read it. Richard Karp, you know, he became the director of the Pittsburgh Opera after a while, but she gave him his first job and his wife. And congratulations, dear Anna, congratulations should go on this day to the musical community of Pittsburgh and to your innumerable young and old friends who had the benefit of your indefatigable and never enthusiastic help and encouragement, of your infectious devotion to musical ideals. And last but not least, enjoy the privileges of your true and enduring friendship. So today we congratulate ourselves on having had you with us and give thanks to you for the past 40 years. Today, as we all know, will be a milestone, but by no means an end to your professional life and love." Hmm. Isn't that a nice letter?
Very.
Beautiful. Beautiful. You certainly used a lot of adjectives.
Yeah. And Sidney Harth, you know that name?
No.
He was a violinist. He was head of the music school at Carnegie Tech.
He came as the dean of the music school, but he was a concert violinist. Mm-hmm. And he still is,
yeah.
William Stark. I'm just picking out names that I think you would.
While you're going over these letters, did she, in her capacity, ever entertain at home any famous or well-known people?
We had some people in for dinner. Ralph Luando, we had him. Ben Swanger. I see his letter here, William Ben Swanger. Uh-huh. Do you know his wife?
Uh-huh.
Eleanor Ben Swanger. Elsie Hillman?
Sure.
I'm sure you know that name.
Of course. Of course. The wife really made a contribution to music in Pittsburgh.
Oh.
There's no question about it.
Elsie Hillman, you know, whenever she wrote to my wife, she sent her a note once in a while, and like when there was, you know, they have a fund for which, from which they make their contributions. The Hillman's are worth
about Foundation.
Yeah, about $250 million. But whenever a letter would go out, Elsie would send a personal check to my wife. And she always spelled her name A-N-A, Dear Anna, A-N-A, one N.
One N, that's unusual, right?
Gail, is there anything else that you want to ask?
Tonight, no, I thought we would just end with the scrapbook for tonight. There are a lot of other questions we do have to ask Dr. Perlett, however.
Roland Light, Frederick Dorian, Sidney Teller. Mike Schwartz ended up as a social worker in China.
In China.
How do you spell his last name?
Mike Schwartz.
Yeah, S-C-H or S-H?
S-C-H-W-A-R-T-Z. There's a very cute note written by a fellow named by the name of Louis Hochstetter. He doesn't live in Pittsburgh anymore. He and his wife were divorced, and he went to Florida. But on his note, it's very cute. He says, "Gee, I was just getting to know you." Isn't that cute?
Takes him time. It takes him time.
We're just getting to know you.
Is this entire scrapbook about her retirement or from the retirement?
The letters, the mailman must have had a backache from delivering all these letters.
Well, I think they all came to the chairman of the meeting, Max Bluestone.
And then he put them together in the album?
Mm-hmm. No, we put them into the album. I don't know who wrote. This looks like a long address. Oh, this is Julian's address. Julian Ruslander, when he it was at this meeting that they changed the name of the school to the Ann L. Perlow Music School.
Oh.
You know. And he says,
what is the date of that? Is it on this address?
Huh?
Is the date on here?
I'm sure it is. At the end of the letter, I'd have to take it out. Mm-hmm. But
what was the date? Do you happen to remember?
Well, no, he said it's probably.
Yeah, I think it was 65.
Mm-hmm. What an honor to have the school named after her. She certainly deserved it.
That was 65.
Mm-hmm.
This is truly a special occasion, and I know that all of you feel a personal, emotional involvement. This is Julian's. I'll just read part of this.
Okay.
As part proof that this is a special occasion for me, I confess that this evening, Dr. Auerbach is not my ghostwriter. Auerbach was the executive director of the Y.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight, I rely rather on my own long-standing, deep-seated attachment to Anna Perlow. I am indebted to my father's SLR, Eslea Ruslander, for his assistance with my preparations. it seemed only natural, in view of his very long and close association with the Perlows. Perhaps it would have been better if Father were doing the speaking, among other things. He could intersperse in his formal tribute such sidelights as his evaluation of Anna Perlow's blinces. She used to make blinces for him. As he told me of his debt to her for the blinces which her mother baked and sent to him from time to time. I am reliably informed that Anna Perlow also sent him her own product, and although they rate high, they are not as good as, nor came as frequently as when her mother was alive. This is not, however, to be in any way construed as demeaning. Perhaps it would have been better and more appropriate to the occasion if Mr. Ray Blumenthal or Judge Lyncher or Sidney Teller were the speakers, as their relationships with the honored guest were close, warm, and of long standing. Then, the interesting thing about this is, the rest of it is in here, I won't go into that, but the interesting thing is that when I retired, I invited Julian Ruslander and his father, S. Leo, and the Ruslanders, S. Leo and Gertrude, his mother, mm-hmm. were very, very fond and attached to Anna. The mother, especially, when she was sick, they lived on Fair Oak Street. She called my wife. I don't want you to put this down.
I want
it. Okay. She called my wife and told her she wanted to see her.
Mm-hmm.
And so my wife went over to see her. And she told my wife that they're building small houses across from Carnegie Tech. Mm-hmm. You know, those connecting houses.
Right. And
she said, you ought to get rid of your big house and buy one of those. Then you'll be practically around the corner from me, and we'll see each other more often. Well, behind that is a story that I never told to anybody, never told it to Julian, but the Ruslanders had a daughter, and she died at a very early age. I don't know how old she was, but she was very, very young. And I always had the feeling that they were attracted to Anna as a sort of a replacement, you know, because they had two boys.
Mm-hmm.
And when I retired, I invited Julian and his father, S. Leo, and Jerry Lieber. You know Jerry Lieber?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
He's in that office.
Mm-hmm.
And because Julian turned his account over, he turned my account over to him,
mm-hmm.
because Jerry Lieber had more time at the time. And I invited them, and I told them I was going to retire. Well, it was a sudden decision, and I decided that because my wife's eyes went bad. That was in 69.
Mm-hmm.
I never expected to retire. But when I took her up to Boston, and they told me that she's going to lose her vision eventually, I decided I'd just retire and take care of her. So when I invited them out, we had lunch at Kaufman's, and Leo Ruslander turned to Julian, and he said to him, and Julian reminded me of that several times. He said, when you, will you keep your eye on the Perlows? And if they need any help, see that they get it.
Huh.
And I never forgot that.
Huh.
And about a year later, Julian asked me if I had to go into capital for living. And I said, no, as a matter of fact, my portfolio, you see, I was dabbling in the market then, mm-hmm. but I really wasn't a gambler. I was buying investment stocks. And I said, no. And I was kidding Julian. I said, you know, actually, your father should have said to me, keep your eye on Julian. If he needs any help, see that he gets it. And, you know, he laughed. But, you know, every year I make a sizable contribution to the Pittsburgh Association for the Blind. Well, there are a lot of letters. I won't go through all of them. But the Pittsburgh Association...